We read the Buddha's descriptions about what happens when the mind gets into jhana. The rapture and pleasure spread through the whole body, saturate the whole body. So there's no part of the body that's not saturated by them. We read Ajahn Lee's descriptions of the breath energy flowing through the body. And we begin to think that we have to be perfect in our breathing before the mind can settle down. They're describing the ideal state, but you have to start with something that may not be ideal. There may be parts of the body that seem dead, just parts of the body that seem blocked. So you work around them. There may be pains in different parts of the body. You work around them. And John Lee himself talks about this. He says there'll be parts of the body that you cannot get comfortable. It's like a mango. The parts of the mango might be wormy, rotten. We don't eat those. You cut out those parts and you eat the flesh that remains. In the same way, you focus on which parts of the body you can make comfortable by the way you breathe, which ones where there is a sense of good, comfortable breath energy, whether it feels like it's flowing or not, doesn't matter, as long as it feels okay, settled in, and enjoy it. Some people are afraid to enjoy the meditation. They feel they should be moving on straight away to insight practice. But what is insight practice? It's getting to get the mind into a good state of concentration and then being able to observe the mind in concentration. So you're not going to move anyplace else. But first you need to feed the mind. Because this is the nature of the mind, it feeds. Problem is it feeds in all the wrong places. We're giving it a better place to feed. And if you don't think about going all the way to awakening, still, you can live a lot better in this world if you learn how to feed inside. We had that chant just now, those who don't discern suffering. It sounds odd. When people are suffering, they should know they're suffering, you would think. That's not what the Buddha means. To discern suffering, he says, means to see what it really is. It's clinging to the aggregates. You know, his explanation of the First Noble Truth. It starts out with things that we're all familiar with, the suffering of birth, aging, illness, death, being separated from those you love, having to be with those you don't like, not getting what you want. In this case, wanting not to have aging, illness, and death, but still having to put up with it, because these things don't go away just by wishing. These are all things we're familiar with. But then he boils it down. All this comes down to the five clinging aggregates. Form as a clinging aggregate, feelings as a clinging aggregate, perceptions, fabrications, consciousness as clinging aggregates. And the real problem is the clinging. The word for clinging, upadana, can also mean to take sustenance, in other words, to feed. We're feeding off of our sense of our body from within, as we feel it from within. We feed off of our feelings, our perceptions, our thought fabrications, our consciousness. And that's the suffering. It seems odd. You would think that we get to feed means that we're finding some pleasure. And we do find some pleasure. The Buddha doesn't deny that. But he says that these aggregates are inconstant and stressful, not self. He's not saying they're totally painful. They have their pleasures. If they didn't have their pleasures, he said, we wouldn't fall for them. We wouldn't feel any passion for them. But that's where we get our food. In fact, the whole process of feeding requires these aggregates. Think about it. You've got the form of the body, and you've got the form of the food out there. You're going to put that food in your body. And there's the feeling of hunger when you don't get enough to eat, and the feeling of satisfaction when you get enough, and the feeling of being stuffed when you get too much. Then there's the perception. You go through life finding what you can feed on. Here, just for the time being, we talk about physical food. Think about children crawling across the floor. They see something new, what do? They put it in their mouths to see if it's edible. That seems to be their first perception. They don't know the word edible, but they have that perception in mind somehow, looking for things to eat. And as you get older, you get a better and better sense of what things are edible. And there's fabrication. As you think about what you would like to eat, you find something. The question is, can you eat it raw, or do you have to fix it? Like with potatoes, if you ate a potato raw, it would be poisonous. You've got to cook it first. Then you can eat it. And finally, consciousness. You have to be aware of all these things in order to do them. So even just the activity of eating in the world outside, eating physical food, requires all five of these activities. And they are activities. The term aggregate is kind of unfortunate. Sounds like gravel. Individual things. And they are individual, but they're not things. They're activities, things we do. And just we engage in these five activities to eat. We also feed off of them. You see this especially when you get involved in mental food. Say you have a relationship with someone. You might be feeding off, you might think you're feeding off of them, but where actually are you feeding? You're feeding off the feelings you have around that person. You're feeling about the perceptions, the memories you have about the good times you had together, times when that person loved you. And fabrications, all the kind of narratives you create around that relationship. In fact, as the Buddha said, many times our clingings and cravings are not focused on where we think they are. You may think you love the person, but actually you love the feelings, you love the perceptions, the thought constructs. You find this especially when the relationship changes. Say the person is beginning to suffer from dementia, and a side of that person comes out that you didn't see before. And you're finding less and less and less, there's less communication. And you feel starved, because this is an area where you opened yourself up so you could feed. Now bad things are coming in. So you have to reflect exactly what was the relationship based on. Why was it bearable? Both sides got to feed in their ways. But what were you feeding on? And the Buddha would say, you're feeding on form, feelings, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness. Now that person is not providing them. When there was mutual feeding, it was okay. This is where you need an alternative place to feed inside. This is where we develop the path, the thought constructs of right view, right resolve. So we can feed off of wisdom, feed off of thoughts that help us explain why we can't feed where we used to feed, or even though we can feed in areas of the world, it may not be a good thing to do that. And then we have the pleasure of the mindfulness and concentration. So we're not starved. So it's an important part of the path that you need to feed along the path. And the Buddha is providing you with good food, good things to think about, good perceptions, good thought constructs, good feelings, good things to be aware of. As you get closer and closer to the sense of awareness inside, that too is an aggregate. Sometimes you're described as unconditioned. The argument being that how can consciousness, if it's conditioned, know something else is conditioned? Well, it's the nature of knowledge. Your consciousness is conditioned by its objects. There's a great sense of ease when you come to feeding on consciousness itself. You make consciousness the object. You can't push this, you can't rush this. It happens as first you're getting the mind to settle down. And there's a strong sense of oneness. First there's a directed thought and evaluation as you adjust things in the body, adjust things in the mind. And it's as if you're outside of the breath a little bit. But then when things are well adjusted, there seems to be a melding as your awareness and the breath become one. And sometimes you have to stay there for long periods of time, but ultimately they will separate out on their own, the awareness and the breath, not where you would expect them. And then you can focus on consciousness itself as an object. Very refined food. But it's not the unconditioned. But it's a good state of mind for observing other things that are going on in the mind. And it's an important step. So you find that you're still feeding on aggregates as you practice, but you're feeding on much better ones. These aggregates are the path. And they put the mind in a place where it can actually see things, very subtle things going on inside that you wouldn't have seen before. This is how concentration provides a foundation for insight. When insight does its work properly, then you open up to something else entirely. Something that's not conditioned at all, something that doesn't require any feeding at all. But until you get there, learn how to feed properly, both in the meditation and as you go through life. You look at the world around us right now. A lot of things we used to take for granted, we can't take for granted anymore. We're feeding off of a false sense of security. And there's a sense that the mind is starved. We've got to learn how to feed it properly from within. There's a passage where the Buddha is confronted by Mara, and the Mara says, "The eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind are mine." And the Buddha seems to agree with them. For most people, that's Mara, the world of the senses. But, he says, when you get the mind in concentration like this, you get to a place where Mara can't see you. You're outside of Mara's domain. Even though you haven't gained full awakening, or even the first stage of awakening, you've got something independent inside. And when you have an independent food source, then you can survive all kinds of things. So learn how to feed here. When you're feeding off of aggregates anyhow, that's what it means to discern suffering, when you realize this is what you've been feeding off of in your relationships, in your attitudes toward the world, the narratives you tell yourself about your life, about yourself. Those are all aggregates. And when you see how unreliable that kind of food is, then you're more inclined to want to find a more stable, more reliable form here in the path. Aggregates again, but fixed in a different way. That gives you the nourishment to be in the world and not suffer from the world. And finally, to learn how to go beyond.